Welcome to the Barbell Coach and Physio, diving deep into all things powerlifting, strength, and rehab. Your hosts are Matthew Burton from River City Barbell and Laura Fox from Fox Physiotherapy and Strength Rehab.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Coach and Physio. It's just myself and Laura today. How's everything on your end? Like, how's prep coming into Pro Raw? How you feeling? Having a good week this week?
Yeah, it's been a good week. So today is 2 weeks out from my Pro Raw sleeves because I'll be on the Friday. But yeah, training's going well. We've started to hit top singles for all the lifts, hit a bench PB on Monday, so hit 95 kilos. And then the top single of prep will be this Monday coming. So should hit something a little bit higher than that as well. Tomorrow's deadlift.
Smash 100 kilos for sure. looking at 95, that 95 was like fucking opener.
Yeah, no, it felt comfortable, like it felt good. So, yeah, I feel like 100's a nice little milestone. You know how you have those, I guess it's like the triple digits. So, yeah, that'll be a cool number to hopefully hit either Monday or in comp.
And everyone, Laura's getting shredded for summer. So she's like a skinny mini at the moment. Like, yeah, go check out her socials. She looks like she's lost like 10 plus kilos and she's like getting shredded for stereo.
Yeah, so I still got a kilo to go, so not too much, so that should be fine over the next 2 weeks.
You're looking good, but the photo you put up the other day, you look jacked as.
Like, thanks. You look fit. Yeah, I feel like I've never really seen my abs before, and then every now and then they just pop out at the moment. I'm like, oh, there is abs under there.
The thing I noticed the most was probably in your shoulders, like your traps. Like, I was just like, whoa, she's just like leaned up heaps lately. I think you posted a photo in your story or something, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, who is this? Where did Laura go?
Yeah, no, being pretty strict with the, or being like very strict with the diet over the last few months, because I tried to drop the weight earlier this time and it was just, what, it just like the first couple come off so quickly and then it just starts to slow down a little bit. And we've had a little bit of play around with nutrition because at one stage we dropped the calories down by like 300 calories a day just to try and knock it off so we could be like, I guess, more maintenance like into the peak of prep. But yeah, with the dropping calories and now mainly carbs, the weight kind of just stayed the same, but strength and performance dropped a little bit. And so after a couple of weeks of that, we're like, all right, let's just bump the food back up because the body's not liking food that low. So we bumped it back up and then the weight still stayed the same, but like energy increased. So we ended up just increasing a little bit of output with cardio outside of training. So yeah, I guess that's a tricky thing that I found with powerlifting and nutrition. Like it's one thing to lose weight, but to try and keep that strength and performance is another thing. So yeah, just trying to find that fine balance of cutting weight but maintaining recovery and strength. But yeah, but everything, yeah, feels like it's on track now. And then especially at this stage in the peak, obviously we're doing heavy singles, but the overall workload is, I guess, getting less so we can recover for comp day. So everything's feeling good.
How are you finding with the cut, like your actual heavy singles and all that stuff like that? Are you still responding really well to everything?
Yeah, yep. Since we only started doing heavy singles like I think 2 weeks ago, and that was probably just around the time where we bumped the calories back up a little bit, and so they've all been feeling really good. Yeah. So yeah, I've got heavy deadlift tomorrow, last heavy bench Monday, last heavy squat Tuesday, and then after that it'll be there'll be the heaviest lifts of prep done. So yeah, no, everything's been feeling good. So happy days. And I've got my sauna at work now, so I hopped in there a couple of times to help with recovery. Done a couple of ice baths, a couple of Epsom salt baths, just anything to help with recovery, like knowing I'm in that little bit of a deficit. Yeah, anything to help with recovery just to keep energy up for the sessions.
Yeah, that's it. No, that's good. It's good to hear. I'm keen to see you lift because obviously I'll be down for 5 days. We come down on the Wednesday night and I've got Jack, Dylan and Dee and like their preps at the moment, God, like I need to pull my fucking finger out of my ass and start training a bit harder again because the boys are starting to catch me that are lighter than me again. So Dylan went this week 217 squat in sleeves, 120 bench and a 240 dead on a stiff bar, obviously. but he's never trained on stiff bar before, so it was a whole new world for him. His original deadlift PR was like 220, I think. So he's put 20 kilos on his dead on a stiff bar. So it's pretty like, I think like the boys using a stiff bar have actually improved their technique a lot more lifting because they don't have that choice to pull the flex out of the bar anymore. So it's like almost instantaneously that they have to like have good technique to pull the weight, and it's actually helped them improve. Jack, on the other hand, man, this guy is a freak. Like he's another one that's, I feel like in 2 years' time will be like a phenomenal athlete. Like he's been with me now since the start of last year, I think. And he put this prep, he put 20 kilos on his squat. So I think so far he's squatted 220 for a single, and he's going 230 this week. So that's in sleeves obviously too. And he put almost 20 kilos on his bench as well. So he's bench 137.5. And at comp last year, he benched like 117.5 for a single. So, and then his deadlift like has just gone through the roof. Like his biggest deadlift in the gym was 240, but at comp he only hit 230, and he's about to pull 255 this week. So he pulled 250 last week, and it was phenomenally quick. Like I was like, whoa, like I was just, I haven't even pulled 250 that quick before. And I was like, I just turned around, I was like, fuck, I better start lifting a bit, fucking take my shit a bit more serious.
Nah, it's good to hear that they're doing so well. And those type of increases over such a short period of time is huge. And it's nice. It's a nice thought as well to know that you're getting inspired by your athletes, because obviously they'd get inspired by you, like by your coaching, by you leading by example. So yeah, the fact that they're then in turn inspiring you to work hard is a nice
thing. Yeah, they are, because like obviously Dylan and Jack have hit singles for the last couple of weeks. I approached both of their peaks in a very different manner this time. Like I started peaking them like 10 weeks out, like, and did a test peak,
yep,
which then like worked really well. Like, so Dylan was a bit different to obviously Jack, because Dylan was working like 17, 15 hour days at work and shit. Like it was hectic, and he wasn't able to pull back till about like 4 weeks out, 5 weeks out. So we peaked both of them very early. And then deloaded 5 weeks out, and then just picked a number. I picked a number from about 90% that was like around where they're going to go have 4 weeks to hit a final peak at the end. It absolutely worked so amazing for them, because it built confidence in them early with a heavy load. And then when we went to this peak, they just smashed it. So I think I did really well in this prep for both of them. D, like I spoke about last week, had obviously the shoulder issues. We fixed that. She squatted a PR this week, benched a PR this week at that body weight, because obviously she's under 90s now. So she squatted 145, which was a body weight PR, and then benched 85 last night. On Saturday, she's going to be pulling like her original PR from 97 kilos, now being under 90, so which is 182.
And then being on a stiff bar as well.
Yeah, and on stiff bar. So, yeah, like everyone's doing like really well. So I'm super happy with that. So I'm looking forward to Pro Raw.
That's awesome. But, so all your athletes are in the sleeves division on the Friday?
Yeah, just on the Friday. So yeah, there's just three. Cool. I was meant to have four, but one pulled out. So just due to like not because of like he had any injuries or anything. He just wanted more time to have an off season. So. Which is fair enough.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, off season's where the gains are made, right? Like that's where you improve the strength to express it at the next comp.
Yeah. So, yeah, other than that, my own training's going really well at the moment. I have recently been medicated for ADHD, so my life has taken a big turn for the better recently. So I'm getting more workload done in my own actual day. I'm being able to process a lot more things, which is now carrying over into my training as well. So less anxiety, less stress in my life, which is actually making my recovery better and able to train harder. So you could say, in a way, I didn't know how good life was on the other side.
Yeah. What are the main differences that you've noticed?
I can focus better at work, so I don't get anxiety when things don't get done. So it's more or less like, right, if I have a million tasks to do, like I'm always thinking about every task I have to do instead of just doing one by one and chipping them off. Now I can kind of process things and put them in order and get them done. And by the end of the day, I don't start to get exhausted when I'm working. So by the end of the day, like I am still chipping away at work by 5 o'clock instead of being like by 3:30, being like, oh, I just need to get up and get out of here because I'm getting so anxious. And just being able to fully complete my whole day's work, like which I always was doing before when it comes to like my check-ins and all that, were always getting done. It's just like little jobs outside of that for my business, like content creation, writing articles, doing all that type of stuff were just kind of getting pushed to the side sometimes because yeah. By the time the day was over, I was just super exhausted and I couldn't do anything. And then I would use the last of my energy to train, but I was still running on empty. So medications help me deal with like mainly my emotions and my mood swings as well. So because I get so exhausted at the end of the day, the mood swings would come and I'd just be really like on edge and anxious and just like really snappy easy. And now like it's completely like erased that because easiest way to put it is like the whole day was anxious normally and now I don't get anxiety. So at the end of the day, I'm still relaxed and keen to go train and have like heaps of energy because obviously anxiety takes like a lot of energy out of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like being in that anxious state, like it'd be quite exhausting. I mean, even just thinking of all the physical symptoms, it's like you increase heart rate and whatnot. Like it's going to be fatiguing and draining. So, no, it's good to hear that you've had such a good response from it.
And it's like I'm only taking the most minute amount too. And I only take it on work days. So, obviously, taking Dexys, but I only take 5 meg in the morning on work days and I don't use it on weekends when I'm just hanging out with friends and family and whatever. I don't need it. It's just for work. And because like I don't get anxiety when I'm doing fun shit on the weekend. I don't like I just do it, you know, and I have enjoy myself even if I was tired. But it's just like it's more or less just work. There's so many things to do and like my brain can't comprehend to put it into order and it just like makes my days really, really hard. Whereas like now I'm comprehending so much that like I've done more work in the last 2 weeks than I've done like ever in weeks, you know. I do get stuff done and I force myself to do it, but I've done it like so easily. And I was like, is this how a normal person works? Is this what normal life is like?
No, that's good. I think with work, like when you have so many tasks to do, it can be quite overwhelming, like even when you're feeling good. So if you're feeling a little bit anxious or the brain's a little bit scattered, that would, become even more overwhelming.
I was fucking saying to someone yesterday, I'm like, I put my hand down at like 8 o'clock now and I look back up and it's 5 and I'm like, what the fuck, where's the day going? Just because like I don't get distracted. Some days I forget to like eat as well. So because like the meds make me focus so much on what I'm doing, like I don't get distracted at all now, whereas I used to get distracted, pick up my phone, do whatever, but now I don't get distracted, so I forget to eat and I forget to do stuff, so I set timers in my phone to eat. Otherwise, I'll just forget. But, yeah, it's so much better. It's heaps better. Like, it's just helped me focus on other things and kind of just be able to be more creative as well in the sense of, like, what I'm doing because, like, there's not that brain fog there anymore. So it's helped. I've got some really cool stuff coming out in the next couple of weeks with an ebook dropping and then a bunch of really cool concepts that I've got coming out. I'm really excited to film and stuff anyway. So look forward to that.
Yeah, perfect. We look forward to seeing all the projects that you're going to do.
2023, guys. I have an offer for you guys with coaching. So both myself and Dean have spots available for coaching and Zoe has spots available for nutrition. We are offering the first 2 weeks for free if you guys sign up this week with coaching to start your new year. If you want to come into the new year stronger, if you want to come into the new year fitter, and you want to come into the new year with some really solid goals, jump on a call with both me, Zoe, or Dean, where we can set goals with you and we can allow a period of time where we can reach those goals. So if you're looking for a coach that's going to drive you forward, get you competing in powerlifting, get you leaner, help you get stronger and better at what you do, myself, Dean, and Zoe are willing and will do this. As you can see the results from our previous clients from 2022, we had world level lifters, we had national level lifters, and we also had over 30 clients placed this year in powerlifting. So if you want to be one of the powerlifters in 2023 that makes this nationals for APL, or you want to compete in another federation where you're going to achieve greatness, get in contact with us today, and we're willing to give you the first 2 weeks for free if you sign up in January. So looking forward to hearing from you guys.
Alrighty, cool. So we'll hop into today's topic. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the skill and proper execution of movement. It's been a common thing that's actually popped up in clinic with me a few times over this week. Like, I've had clients come in and they're like, firstly, like, their body's moving better than it ever has, and they're getting more out of their training. They're actually feeling the muscles they're intending to work. And the reason behind this is, rather than like being, I guess, obsessed with increasing load with what they're doing, which I guess ends up being ego lifting, because obviously, yes, we can improve your strength at certain lifts, but you're going to get to the point where you're probably just not moving it correctly, and you're moving the weight, but like, you're probably not working the intended target muscle as well as you could at a lighter weight because you're not moving it correctly. So yeah, I've had the chat with a few people, or a few people have just also gone off on their own whim to do it as well. Cause I guess you have the chat with a lot of people and sometimes it just doesn't really click what you mean. But yeah, people are kind of more focusing on actually getting that movement pattern correct, and then they're working the intended muscle. And I guess as well, like, mobility is great. Like, I give a lot of people prehab activation, all of that. But at the end of the day, if you're not moving well through the session, you're just going to tighten back up again. And also, moving correctly in the gym should actually give you proper mobility too. Like, if you're doing a back exercise, you're going through like full protraction, full retraction, like, that is kind of a mobility exercise. Like, you're working your body through full range. You're probably working it through even more range than you could body weight, because you've actually got the load there to like help pull you forward into a bit more protraction, that kind of thing. So yeah, I've just really noticed a difference this week with a few clients who have really taken that on board to move correctly in the gym and not be obsessed with just always increasing the load. Because even though increasing load like that on paper looks like it's going to progress you, like, lifting the same weight but better, that's actually going to progress you as well.
Even slowing it down and adding an eccentric. Like, a lot of the time, like, on my client's stuff, like, if they're in an off season or something, I'll put like an eccentric and a pause in there on, like, say, dumbbell work, or say even leg press, stuff like that. Because I know a lot of people get on there and they slap a fuckload of weight on and they just fucking rep it out, like, really rough. If I slow it down to a 3 to 4 eccentric, they're going to focus on contraction and pushing a little bit harder and like really focusing on the position in which the movement is, rather than just trying to pump out like as much weight that's on there as they can.
Yeah. And I think as well, that comes down to what the intended purpose of the session is, or intended purpose of the exercise. Because if someone is training for hypertrophy, whether it be a bodybuilder or a powerlifter in their off season, yeah, increasing eccentrics, that's a great way to increase time under tension. So it's a good way to make that exercise harder for the muscle without adding load. So it could be like a lower risk of injury. Yeah, it's just a great way to challenge that muscle a lot more rather than having to add excessive load. But yeah, I think it's really common in the gym. You don't really see people control the eccentrics. Like, they'll just kind of let gravity take it. And it's like, you're kind of just selling yourself short. Like, you could be getting so much more out of that exercise just by lifting correctly. But I think that's where, kind of, I guess, ego lifting gets in the way.
There's two famous lifts I like to put down for like the ego lifters in the gym at a commercial gym. One's like lat pull down when you see them like doing the whole like fucking fly away from the fucking lat pull down and seated row when people like use their body to pull it back instead of like pulling their shoulders back. And yeah, and they're the ones I think the main, yeah, the main offenders, I reckon. And then you could say like similar things with like dumbbell lateral raises when people kind of use their back as well to lift it up instead of their arms. But, you know, like one thing that I use, the ways I use in my programming to do this without people knowing is I give a rep variance. So like if say someone's got some lat pull downs, for example, or even just lateral raises, right? I'll give them like a 10 to 15 rep and I say to them, start on like a weight and then each week go up a rep, you know, until you hit that 15 and then go back to the 10 reps and start again on the next weight. Because like, you know, you can't jump 2.5 kilos every time that you jump on a set of dumbbells, you know, for lateral raises. So if you increase that rep range, by the time you go to that next weight and you work up from 10 to 15 again, you know, you're going to be a little bit stronger. That's one thing I try and carry over into helping people apply a little bit better to their technique rather than trying to just lift as much weight as you can.
Yeah. And I guess as well, like it also ties into having a coach, right? Or having someone teach you, because I guess ego lifting does come into play with lifting incorrectly, but I think it's also like people don't know. Like if someone hasn't been taught, yeah, for your lat pull down, you're meant to pull your shoulder blade down to depress the shoulder. Like they just think I'm moving that bar from A to B and they don't really worry about how they're doing it. So I think that's where, yeah, having a coach, having someone to help analyze your technique is so important because you don't know what you don't know, right? Like if we look at how we lifted in the gym 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it'd probably be quite embarrassing to watch the videos.
But I say to people as well, like you see someone in like, because obviously I train in Worlds, so I see it all the time. And someone will point out to me and they'll be like, oh, look at this guy. And I'll be like, hey, man, he's still at the gym. Like that's all that matters. Like he's still here lifting shit. Even if he's lifting shit, he probably knows he's lifting shit, but he's still in here chipping away at it. I'm like, so don't put shit on him. But he's probably not know that what he's doing or how to change that. So you, like you said, I did a post recently about why you should get a coach as a powerlifter, and it's more or less that exact reason there. So when my clients check in with me, they don't just check in with like their main compound lifts. If they feel like they're not doing the accessory right, they film it and put it up in their check-in, and I give them feedback on what they can be doing right about that to improve that exercise so they can get more out of it as well.
Yeah.
So because I think that a lot of people know how to squat, bench, and deadlift, but I don't think a lot of people know how to do everything else that they do. Like, you know, it's very basic when you come to like leg extension, leg curls, like a leg press. They're all easy, but like when you start getting into like your single arm movements, like single arm lat pull down, stuff like that, there is certain ways that you can get more out of the exercise if you're pulling in a certain direction, which you'd know like things about being like a physio and stuff like that. But you know, some people will maybe go into extension or flexion in certain exercise, which is actually limiting, like lengthening certain muscles. So like if we can pick up on that as a coach, we can actually improve the technique so they can get more out of the exercise too, or its intention for the exercise as well. So a prime example of that would be like when people do hyper 45s, like the amount of time I see people do hyper 45s and they're back straight when they should be in flexion in the lumbar so they can get more length through the glute.
Yep, definitely. And yeah, I like that you're analyzing some of those accessories as well, not just the main lifts, because it's all going to transfer across into the main lifts, right? Like if someone can't fully retract their scapula, they're probably going to be quite stiff in that mid back. If they're quite stiff, they're probably not going to be able to get into a very good position to then stabilize their bench press.
Yeah.
If someone can't do a lat variation correctly, if they can't properly depress their scapula, if they're just, I guess, using their upper trap a little bit more, or they're just not aware of that movement or that mind muscle connection, then how are they meant to use their lats in all the other lifts? Like how are they meant to use it in the squat, how they're meant to use it to stabilize the spine in the deadlift. So I think, yeah, having the awareness of how to execute those movements correctly and then actually executing them correctly so those muscles are strong, so that you have the mobility to access certain positions, like that's all going to transfer across to a better lift in the big three.
Yeah, for sure. And the intent as well, like most of the time, well, all the time, everything that's in someone's program is there for a reason, you know. So if they're doing something that is, I haven't had it intended there for, so like it's no point in that exercise being in the program. So like if I do have something in there for intention, so for example, I will use Dee as the example. She's a very hingy squatter. So like last prep, I put in good mornings into her like program because she always used to kind of, her bum comes up, but like she forgets to engage her back. So the intention there was to put weight on her back so that she had to drive against it. So then when she squats, her brain thinks straight away that weight's pulling her, so let's push up. And straight away that worked. And like it with the intention behind that. So I was like, make sure you record your good mornings for me because I want to see what you're doing so that I can make sure that exercise is doing what it's intended for. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And obviously as well, when it's something like that, you're putting in an exercise to help with an athlete's weak point. And if you're doing that, they're probably most likely going to revert back to where they're strongest, which is in the movement pattern that you're not wanting. So for you putting in that exercise to help with their weakness, they're probably going to need a lot of cues. So, yeah, to be monitoring that I think is very important. Otherwise, you're just reinforcing those poor movement patterns or reinforcing those positions where they're perhaps strongest at the moment, but it's not going to help them move forward into that stronger position that you do want.
And then another thing would be too, like if I want to see what the intensity is that people are doing on their accessories, because I do think a lot of people bitch their accessories at the end of a session. So like sometimes I'd be like, hey, just record this for me because I want to see what their RP9 is compared to mine. And then when they're like, they'll send it to me and show me, I'd be like, hey, you're not like go up in weight or, you know, like I'll know that they're doing that. So if they're doing that, I'll just put more reps on there. So even if they do the intensity at that height, they're doing more reps anyway. So it's going to be harder by the time they get to the higher rep range. So I cheat people without telling them I'm cheating them. So like people will be like, a lot of my clients train in the gym with me. So I see like them doing their accessories. And they'll be like doing, say, 10s and 12s on it. On leg extension, I'm like, oh, you guys are just cruising through that. So then next side mesocycle, I'll just put 15 to 20 reps on there. So they can't kind of cheat the weight anymore. So, yeah. I'm an asshole.
No, that's good. But you're not cheating them. You're helping them from cheating themselves.
Yeah, I'm helping them. But I'm like, if you want to cheat the fucking accessories, I'll get you harder, you know.
No, it's good. You got to know how to get the most out of your athletes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But yeah, like you said, you know, intention in what you do is everything. And I think that if you focus a little bit more on how you're moving through each exercise, you're going to get more out of it long term as well.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think as well, like, so sometimes I have to have like the technique chat with people, like, because it is quite important. You just see these same niggles popping up no matter, like, you're doing treatment, you're giving them the prehab, and they're just not making as much progress as you expect because they just keep executing things with the same technique and coming back to the same square one. And so sometimes you do have to, like, convince them to drop that load down a little bit to execute with proper technique. But the feedback's generally like, oh, I actually felt it more in that muscle than I have before, even on that lighter load. So it's like, even though it might feel like you're taking a step back because that load is just a little bit lighter, not always the case, but sometimes it is, because obviously strength is positional. So if you're not used to doing a movement in a certain position, you're not going to have that strength where you're just using momentum or using other muscles to yank it. So even though it feels like it's one step back, like imagine how much progress you're going to make by the time you get back to the weight where you were just yanking it, using momentum, using the wrong muscles. So, yeah, I think it's one of those things, even though sometimes it feels like a step back, it's still actually a step forward, and then it allows you to take five steps forward, whereas before you were only ever taking one step forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. Like it's, yeah, the progress from lifting a lot better.
So many people like in powerlifting, especially, I don't know about bodybuilding, because bodybuilding's so focused on like always moving forward, like in reps and weight and stuff like that on accessories. But a lot of people in powerlifting, they sit around the same weight in their accessories all the time. And I've seen it as well because obviously I track a lot of that stuff. A common thing I see in girls is like with dumbbells, they don't really push their dumbbells up because they think, oh, this is comfortable, and they don't like it. It's hard to get in that uncomfortable place. I guess I don't know whether sometimes like it could be embarrassment or failing or not having someone around to help them push or whatnot like that. You know, I've been pushing some of my girls lately and they've been like dumbbell and like 30 yeah. kilo dumbbells on like incline and flat dumbbell bench press. But the thing is too, like if you just focus a little bit more on pushing through those accessories and not pushing so much weight and improving the technique and feeling your, like you speak about mind-body connection, you will see a massive increase in muscle growth. Like, and that is only going to carry over into all your other lifts yep. as well.
I reckon there could be like a few reasons behind, like it's pointed out girls like not pushing the accessories. I reckon fear of failure definitely could be one, because it's like if a weight feels a bit tricky, and then especially with upper body exercise, it's like a 2.5 kilo or a 5 kilo jump might actually be a lot. Yeah.
It's huge for
And you. Then I think yeah. if someone says that they haven't like tried a higher weight before and then like not being able to lift it very well or not get many reps, but then, you know, once you've committed to a weight, especially if it's like dumbbells or a plate loaded machine, it's kind of hard to drop it back because you're like, oh, I've tried to commit to this weight. Like my ego doesn't want to drop it back down. So I reckon it could be like a fear of failure thing, or maybe they just don't have them, like they don't believe that they could do more. So sometimes it takes someone being there, like whether it's a gym buddy, whether it's your coach, whoever it is, someone being like, okay, that actually moved well, it looked easy, let's bump it up, even if you're getting like a couple of less reps.
Yeah, totally. And I guess it comes down to having the support there to drive you forward too. So when I do see that, like a lot of the people, whether it be guys or girls, I always question, be like, hey, you know, I saw last mesocycle you did this. How about next week? I noticed you're on that again 3 weeks in. Let's try and go this next week. And I give them that bit of like push. And a prime example of that would be, right, one of my girls, Lee, she's fucking just an animal. I'd be putting a story out about her in the next week or two about her and the things she's been through in the last 6 months. But anyway, to keep it short, she had a miscarriage. She was pregnant at Worlds last year. Had a miscarriage afterwards, then slipped over in the shower and dislocated her shoulder. Yeah. So she's been through war, yep. like literally. And then the other day she goes, I really just want to pull like 165 for 5. And I was like, I just turned around and I said to her, I go, yeah, cool. 165 is cool, but why don't you just go 170? And she's like, oh, I don't know if I'll have that. And I'm like, I'm your coach. I wouldn't tell you to do it if I didn't think you had it. And like, this is just obviously it's a compound, but this is all it needed was like, I'm your coach. I know you got it. I wouldn't give it to you if you didn't tell you had it. And she went and nailed it. Like she fucking smashed it. But then she said after it, she's like, I would never have thought of going 170, always would have gone 160, but you pushed me. So sometimes people just need like a push to the edge of the cliff before they jump. You know what I mean? Like, if someone's sitting in that really comfortable position where they're not pushing their accessories, they're not really focusing on technique, they just need a little reminder to say, hey, and turn that light bulb on so that next time they go to their session, they're like, oh, Matt told me, you know, I should be doing this, and then they'll do it.
Yeah, well, there's such a big mental aspect of training too, isn't there? Like if you don't think you're going to get a lift, you might as well not lift it because, you have to believe.
Oh, fucking oaf, yeah.
Or your body's got no chance.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally. And, you know, like, it comes back to, like, how bad, you know, you want something. Yeah. You'd know that. That's probably a good way to finish up. Thanks for everyone listening in. Appreciate you coming to listen to the podcast. And thanks to everyone last week. We had a huge amount of downloads last week. Like, I think one day we had 125 downloads on one day. So thanks to everyone that listened to mine and Laura's crazy voices.
We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Barbell Coach and Physio Podcast. Subscribe to hear future episodes and join us on Instagram at Barbell Coach and Physio and at Fox.Physio and River City Barbell _Oz.